Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning might sound a little on, the extreme side, and I just want you to know that I get that, Just kind of let us roll along with this, what I'm going to talk about this morning really takes a lot of discipline, a help from the Lord, and a plan, and it's just a challenging thing when we talk about fasting and prayer, and so what I want to do is cast a little vision and direction here for us for the next 40 days, well further than that, but 40 days. Of this fasting and prayer that starts January 2nd and goes till February 10th. Now, some of you would have this because I handed it to you or you grabbed one off the information counter. I know that we don't have enough this morning for both of our services. We had a little technical difficulty with our printer, and in fact, some of the copies are not so great, and I want you to know that we're going to, obviously, the maintenance guy is going to come and look at this. We have a contract service program. And so we're going to put more of these in print over the next 4 weeks. So if you don't get one this morning, I don't want you to feel like you're missing out. If you see somebody with one, maybe have them, hold it open so you can take a quick picture with your phone for at least the first 10 days. The cover of this says, Your 40-Day Participation Guide. Now, when you hear fasting for 40 days, I know my first response is, oh no, not me. Listen, when it comes to the fasting part, and I'm going to talk about this and share some scriptures in a little bit, but the fasting, this is not a mandate from me saying, listen, you got to fast for 40 days, you can't eat. That is just not the case. If I could mandate anything, as if I had the power to do that, for us, is that we would spend extra time in prayer over the next few days. Guys, if that's me, let me know. Yeah? Is it me? Maybe? It's the metal plate in my head? Acting up. is more prayer. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this. And it says participation guide. I'm hoping that all of us together at New Life, and who call this their home church, that we would participate in the next 40 days. And let's just see what the Lord might do. So this little participation guide, if you just looked at it, it could be kind of confusing and all of that. So I want to comment on it, okay, so that when you pick one up or you get one next week or during the week you stop in or whatever it is, there's a little bit of clarity for you. Understand that this is not to replace your personal Bible reading and prayer time that you're already doing and Bible study that you're involved in and all of that. This is not to replace that. This is something additional that we do in our walk in addition to what's already going on, what we're already doing. And so when you look at this and when you get this, you'll see that I broke this down into 10-day segments, so four of them. And on those each 10 days, there's a focus for us. It's not to take away, once again, from what you're studying or what you're doing already in your walk. This is an addition. It's a focus for us of what we're going to do the next 10 days and how we're going to pray the next 10 days. As far as the fasting part, you and the Lord are going to work that out, okay? You have to decide what that means for you, and like I said, we'll talk about that. So, anyhow, in the first 10 days, it's going to be spent about gratitude and about repentance for us. You know, as we go on with our Christian life and we get busy and we sometimes, have some ups and downs in our spiritual walk or dry times or whatever you want to call them, And busyness and all those things, not to make excuse for us, but, you know, we sometimes get a little off the mark, and we get spread kind of thin. We don't operate at the top of our game. We're not sensitive to the leading of the Lord. We just kind of kick our flesh kicks in. We just kind of act our own way and, you know, kind of from a somewhat of redemptive thinking, but, you know, we're not functioning right. We get a little off the mark, and every once in a while, we got to calibrate. We got to get back to the point. We got to get back to center. And so part of that is what we're going to be doing these first 10 days. We're going to spend time with some repentance, some things that we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you and I about that maybe have crept into our life that we don't think is a big deal. Maybe it's even permissible, but it's not beneficial. And he's going to talk to us about that and say, listen, this is a little bigger deal than what you think. And we're going to move along in those 10 days. We're going to come to the second set. You're going to see some additional readings and some scriptures throughout this that I'm going to suggest, whether you read them every day or, you know, you work your way through it in 10 days. I'm also suggesting that there's some additional reading, if you would dare to do that. The second 10 days, we're going to, as we continue to fast and pray, we're going to focus a lot on our international missionaries. We're going to be praying for our missionaries and what countries they're from, and that's all of that's in there. Now, these are not all of our missionaries or home missions, but most of our international missionaries. And some of the things that we can do as we study and pray and go through these days is some additional study, and there's a missions book. It's called Peace Child. It's from one of our, and I hesitate to use the term like this, but you get the idea, kind of a Hall of Famer missionary, Don Richardson, and what he went through, how the Lord brought the message of the good news of the gospel to an unreached people group through his life, through great turmoil, difficulty, etc., and it's just a great story about missions and kind of inspires us that, you know, what's going on in the rest of the world out there beyond where just we live. And so a missions awareness. As we go into the set of the day 21 through 30, it's going to be fasting and praying for revival, renewal for the church, for us. Lord, awakening us again and reviving us, and maybe we feel like we're doing okay. You know, we sometimes think we're doing okay until we can, you know, really see. You know, it's like somebody says, well, I just kind of always thought everybody saw everything like I did, and then they put on prescription glasses, and I went, whoa. You know, sometimes it's kind of like that. It's like when revival and renewing come to us, we just see a little more clearly our experience with the Lord. And so some additional reading, including what I've given in the little participation guide. These are books that you can buy online yourself. So Why Revival Tarries, Why It Lingers, Why It Doesn't Come, written by Leonard Ravenhill. It's kind of directed in the context kind of towards preachers, but the scripture says we're all priests unto God. So, you know, we can use this to apply it to our life. I want you to know that the Board of Deacons, I give them each a copy of this some time ago. And every month when we have our meeting, they will come and do a devotional based on this book. And then we discuss it and we talk about it and then we spend time praying. And so I suggest this book to you. In the last and final segment of these 40 days of fasting and prayer, day 31 through 40, or 30 through 40, whatever it is, we are going to pray for the church to be activated in reaching people. This isn't about praying for programs and evangelistic crusades. This is about you and I having spiritual influence where we live and walk every day, in our homes, at work, at school, the marketplace, etc. And so one of the additional readings that you can get, and you can also get a workbook that goes with it when you order it, it's called Workplace Grace, about becoming a spiritual influence where you spend your day. And so it's very practical, and it'll go along with the focus of those 10 days about you and I being involved in sharing the gospel and reaching people and being an influence in our community. For those of you who have children at home, don't exclude them from this. Include them in this. Talk with them. Pray with them about it. As far as the fasting, you can figure that out, what you're going to do or what your family's going to do. But I encourage you, don't exclude your children from this. Disciple them in it. Encourage one another. As the days go by over these 40 days, you will see a couple of times where we're going to have kind of a concert of prayer, where it's worship and prayer. It'll be directed, and it'll go for about an hour. We're going to do that a couple times over the next 40 days, in addition to postings that you will get. It'll be advertised. We'll get it out to you of times where the sanctuary is going to be open, and you just come and pray. Some of them are going to be during lunch hour, some of them might be early mornings, and you just say, I'm going to go over there for 10 minutes, or I'm going to go over there for a half hour, or whatever it is, and you wake up a little earlier and come, or you take part of your lunch hour, however that works for you, and you can come here and pray. And not that you have to be in this building to do it. I know some of you, you want to spend time on your lunch hour, but you work quite a ways away. You can do that on your own. Just know that there's some of us here. We're gathering together with you. And so we'll get some of those times out as we go through this. So Luke chapter 4 and in Matthew chapter 4, it's a similar passage, talks about this. In Luke chapter 4, this is after Jesus got baptized in water. And I'm going to read this to you. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, where he was baptized, and was led by the Spirit. Would you say that? Led by the Spirit. Say it one more time. All right, I want you to keep that in the forefront of your mind as we talk about this. Was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. When they were ended, he was hungry. I want you to know, as I'm looking at this 40 days and going into it, I'm hungry before it. You know, I mean, I know we just had Christmas, but you know, when I was younger, you know, as a boy and as a teenager and as a young adult man, you know, the furnace is always burning, right? So you just eat all the time. And it didn't even have to really taste good. It was just like silage, like just keep, you know, keep putting wood on the fire. Just keep the furnace burning. Just, that doesn't matter. I mean, I liked good food, but it didn't have to be great. You just wanted to eat. And you just filled up your stomach and, you know, went on and burned it all up. Well, as time has gone on, my furnace doesn't burn it as quick. And now, because I've been married to a woman who is phenomenal in the kitchen, you know, I like good food. I like good food. You want to get my attention? Oh, you want to get his attention? Okay. Yeah, I saw a guy in the back going like this. I thought he was talking to me and kind of mirroring what I'm doing, and he was talking to his boy who was running down the aisle. So, anyhow, glad you got him. You and I were washing windows together. But, so, you know, it's my wife's fault that I don't enjoy fasting now because all this food she makes. Yeah. I said that in the first service. She heard me. She was here. So, you know, just, you don't have to go and tell her, message her on Facebook or anything. You know. When we talk about fasting, and the Bible does, Old Testament and New Testament, I mean, it's a daunting task. And maybe for some of us, it's a spiritual discipline that we do on a weekly basis or monthly or whatever, or yearly, however you want to look at it. For some, they tried it once or did it once, or they skipped lunch once and then died, you know, of hunger, you know, whatever it is. And some have never done it, or they don't know what it's about, and, you know, and the purpose in it. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. You know, when we... You know, over several decades, is because I'm old enough now to watch this and see this and watch time go by, I've watched fasting kind of evolve a little bit into, well, when we talk about fasting, people kind of come up with their own fast. Kind of like, well, if I'm going to fast, you know, TV, I'll just use it for an example. I'm going to fast TV for a week. And, you know, that's great. I'm not here to make fun of anybody's, you know, chosen fast because there's value in it. And I have done some of those kind of fasts. Or they come up with, I'm going to fast social network for my lunch hour once a week. It's going to kill me, man. No. You know, so here's the thing. When it comes to fasting, it was very interesting. It says that Jesus was led by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit to go. And you and I can come up with some pretty noble ideas about fasting. And we can strap a big burden or a big, you know, impulse on ourselves. And, you know, offer it to God. And it sounds good and, you know, it involves sacrifice. But I want to remind us of something that, you know, fasting, there's sacrifice involved, obviously. But we want this to be led by the Spirit in each of our lives. Because this is a thing that we do together, but each of us are accountable just to the Lord. This isn't comparing your fast to somebody else's fast and how often or how much or how long. Let's not contaminate this marvelous spiritual discipline and fruitfulness by throwing in our measuring stick. We need this to be led by the Spirit in each of our life. Now, that does not necessarily mean that it's going to be easy. Our flesh does not like to go without what it wants in any area of our life. Okay? But I want to remind us something about sacrifice. It's a wonderful thing to just say, Lord, I'm gonna take time out and I'm gonna go for a walk with you and talk to you and listen to you, and I'm gonna do that. And that's a beautiful thing. You sacrifice some time, you put some other things aside, so you know, you can never get those minutes back, but you spent it with the Lord. Or you decide, you know, I tithe, I give the missions. You know what, Lord, I just want to write an extra check for $100 and give it to, you know, a ministry or a benevolence or the children or youth ministry, whatever's going on. And you just want to do that. It's not like the Lord spoke to you. You just want to do that. I think that there's room for that. I think that that needs to be an expression of our faith to do those kind of sacrifices. However, the Scripture says that obedience is better than sacrifice. And so we want to be led by the Spirit. What is the Lord calling me to do? What do I need to do? And that I need to surrender to and say yes to and obey Him. Sometimes when we feel the prompting of the Spirit, we try to shut His voice down quick, and we try to come up with our own idea of sacrifice and put it in its place. Like, I got a better idea. Let me sacrifice this. Ooh, this is really good, and ooh, this is going to be tough, and ooh, I'm going to do this. And we don't listen to the voice and the will and the purpose of God. And He says that obedience is better than sacrifice. We cannot replace what He calls us to with our own idea. And sometimes I feel like fasting, we have come up with some of that. That we have replaced what He's called us to. You see, it's an interesting thing about TV or social network or whatever. When the push comes to shove, we all have to admit that we don't really need it. We can live without it. I know some of us have come to the place where, yeah, but my quality of life would be so poor, you know, without it. You know, hey, those are not needs. Anytime they talked about fasting, really, and humbling ourselves and fasting in Scripture, it always had to do with food. Now, food is not in the category of optional. We need food to live. It's a different category. Now, I don't want you to think, oh, great, I had this idea, we're going into fasting, and I was going to fast TV or social network or radio or this or that or whatever. Listen, I'm not saying that that's lesser or it shouldn't be a part of this. It is, because remember this, that Jesus was led by the Spirit to go out into the wilderness, and he did not eat, but he withdrew. He withdrew. Part of this fasting and praying is that you and I give up some of the other daily routines and things we fill our time with that are not needs, and that we withdraw and set aside time for additional prayer, additional study, additional listening to him, additional reading of the scripture. You see, it's not just I'm fasting television, and so I live my life normally, I go through everything, I still have my devotions, I just don't watch TV. No, no, that's a disconnect. What happens is, I don't watch TV, if that's what I'm giving up, because I'm going to withdraw for that hour, and I am going to pray more. I'm going to study more. I am going to read the scripture more. I am going to sit quiet before the Lord and listen to him. Listen, this whole idea is very difficult. Listen, when I will tell you that even in my own life, the fasting or additional prayer times, when it comes time for that and I do that, I want you to know my flesh, It lashes out. It whines. It cries. It fusses. I've got to crucify it. I mean, I will come for an additional time of prayer, and I'll come in, and maybe it'll be in here, and I'll walk around and pray, and wherever I'm at, and it's like my mind is going to all the things that I still need to do, the things I got to get done. And here I am supposed to be praying and talking to the Lord, and my mind is on all the other stuff. And then once I work through that and shake that off and get sick of myself for doing that and apologize to the Lord, then my mind starts to fill up, and you might be different, my mind starts to fill up with recreational things. Like, I can't wait to play golf because it's cold out right now. I can't wait to go play golf for the first time. Man, and then I start to think of people I know who are living in warm places. And here I am supposed to be praying. This is my flesh that's living. And then I start to think about, you know, finances or a bill that's coming or, you know, whatever. And And my flesh is just distracting and fighting me, and then, you know, my stomach rumbles. I mean, I get to the point where I start craving food I don't eat, like a Whopper with cheese, no lettuce, extra ketchup. And I know that they're running that $6 Whopper box. Okay, I mean, you know, this stuff's... And I'm supposed to be praying. I'm telling you, my flesh starts to do all it can. And you just tarry. And you keep fighting it. And you break through. And the next day, you might have to go through it all again. But it's okay. Because my flesh needs to be crucified. And allow the Spirit to live. And what might he want to calibrate me to, or tune me up, or bring to my attention, or reveal to me that he's never revealed before? And just the fellowship that I can have with him. And sometimes it's like heaven is shut up, and I don't know if he's hearing me, and he certainly doesn't seem to be answering, or I'm just not getting it. But you know what? We're going to do what we're supposed to do. We're going to be faithful. And we're going to do it. And we're going to break through. And my flesh, I know what it is to give in. You know what it is to give in. What do you say we endeavor for 40 days and we continue in some measure of faithfulness what the Lord calls each of us to in the way of fasting and prayer or sacrificing some things. Listen, I know that some of you in this room, food is a difficult thing because of your health or you're diabetic. Or listen, you get the pass. You work that out between you and the Lord. That is your business. And for those who don't have a health issue like that, that, you know, it wouldn't hurt you to go without a meal, listen, you have to work that out with the Lord. Is it a lunch hour every day? Is it you're going to fast for a week and just have water or liquid or whatever? It's your business. Or, well, what about that Daniel fast? I think I'm going to do that Daniel fast because at least I can eat. Well, this isn't about gorging ourselves, right? This is about subduing our flesh and allowing our spirit to thrive with Him. It's about praying and seeking also the blessing on behalf of somebody else that we may never see or know, but some missionary family, some people group, that some country we've never been to or may never go. But the kingdom of God is at work in you and through you. So I want to encourage you that when you look at fasting and sort this out with the Lord, if it's possible, food should be part of it. And we should learn to cooperate with that fasting, to take that time somewhere and extend it with prayer, with study, with scripture. Get your device. Don't answer calls or texts, but maybe you got to Google something. So, you know, I'm gonna Google intercessory prayer. I'm gonna Google doctrine of salvation. I'm gonna whatever it is to study and get added material in addition to maybe these books or whatever else. You're gonna study. You're gonna show yourself approved. Holy Spirit's gonna help you. But you're taking extra time. You are setting yourself apart. There may be something you do every week. It's an activity. And you just feel like, you know, I'm going to take that time for the next 4 weeks, and I'm going to designate it to the Lord. And you're going to honor it like it's that event or like it's a doctor's appointment. I mean, you don't want to cancel a doctor's appointment. My goodness, you know, you do that, you can never get in to see him again, blah, 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 blah. You get off work, you do whatever. You know, where is that sense in your life and my life of honoring a commitment with the Lord like that, an appointment with Him to study longer and pray more? You know, this participation guide is just kind of a little bit of a directive. It's not to replace anything. It's something to start and give some direction and that you can build off for 10 days at a time, in addition to whatever else the Lord brings to you. So please, don't hear this morning that there's some big burden that you got to fast and be impulsive about for, you know, fasting without food for 40 days. That is not it. This is between you and the Lord, and it's nobody else's business. You know, if you live with other people, you may want to communicate with them so that life in the house is better, in the sense that, you know, maybe you prepare food for somebody, or maybe somebody prepares food for you. You kind of want to let them know what you're eating or not eating, or not eating at all. You know, that would kind of be a help. And by the way, if you're the food preparer and someone else is fasting in your family, you know, if you know they're skipping a meal or not eating a certain day, it's a great day if they've aggravated you to cook their favorite food and just, no, I kid. Listen, you get into this at the beginning, every food becomes your favorite. It's like, I don't like sauerkraut, but man, that's really looking good to me, you know. It's fighting through the flesh. It's sowing to the Spirit. Listen, these days of repentance, these first 10 days, allow them to speak to you. There's some things that maybe have crept into your attitude or mine that it's not best. It's not best. In fact, I want to read something to you about sabotaging your fasting and prayer. Isaiah prophesied about it. The Lord was revealing to him something about God's people. In Isaiah 58, the Lord is talking to Isaiah. And he says, "Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgressions, the house of Jacob, declare their sins to them." Now listen to this. "Though they seek me daily and they delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God." I want to pause here. See, that all sounds, what they're doing sounds really right. It sounds a little like what you and I are going to endeavor to do the next 40 days. We're going to call on the Lord. We're going to try to pray right things. We're going to call on Him. We're going to, look to seek Him and know Him better. You know, this is what it looks like. And we think, hey, this is good. And this is what the people were saying to God. "Why have we fasted and you don't seem to notice it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it, Lord?" The Lord replies. He says, "Listen, behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure. In the day of your fast, you oppress workers, laborers. Behold, you fast, and then you turn and quarrel and fight. You even strike with a wicked fist. Fasting like this will not cause your voice to be heard in heaven." You see, what the Lord's saying is you can go through fasting and prayer and you can sacrifice and you can read the scripture more and you can pray some more and you can pray the right things. But if you are mistreating people, if you're getting wrapped up around little things that really are insignificant in comparison to the life that God calls us to and what's really important, if we're getting wrapped up in that and we're mistreating people, we're thinking that we've got some kind of special approval or we've got some type of measure of entitlement in our life because of some status or accomplishment or whatever it is, wherever we get that from, He looks at that and says, "You know what, you can fast and pray all you want. I am not going to hear you because you mistreat people." That's how you and I can sabotage our Christian life, our prayer on a regular basis, and certainly these 40 days that can be a daunting task of self-discipline with the help of the Spirit to sow to the Spirit, and we can sabotage the whole thing by mistreating people. Because the Lord says this, "Is such a fast that I chose a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day that's acceptable to the Lord?" In other words, you're going through the religious duties. Is that really what a fast is about? He says this, "Is not this the fast that I chose? For you to loose the bonds of wickedness. For you to unstrap the yoke that sets upon people who are oppressed, that they could go free. To break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with someone who's hungry? Isn't it to care for the poor and the homeless? To cover the person who needs clothing? Then, if you do these things," he says, "if you will do these things, if you fast and pray, and you treat people good, you change You honor the Lord this way. You work along with the fasting and praying. He says, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Say fast. Say it fast. Fast, like speed. Listen, speed, fast, speed, race, hurry. Listen, for most of us, when we pray to the Lord, he never seems to answer fast enough, right? I mean, it's, you know, we're just, I'm not criticizing the Lord, obviously. I'm just, from our perspective, it's like, hey, if I prayed about it now, even though I don't need the answer for 2 days, it'd be nice if it showed up now, right? He says, listen, you fast and pray. You give up some need. You sacrifice some things. You withdraw and spend more time in prayer, seeking me, knowing my scripture, studying, listening to me. And when you come out of that place of, you know, retreat or going alone with the Lord, and you come out and you're treating people right, he says, your healing, it's going to come fast. It's going to come quick. It's going to be like the day of Pentecost. Boom, suddenly. Sorry if you were sleeping. I saw a few of you go, oh, hey. This is what he promises. This is what he says. The light of your cause, your righteousness, it's going to go before you. It's going to shine like the sun. The Lord is going to shine in your life and shine upon you and all that light brings. And your healing, it's going to come speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. You don't have to look over your shoulder. He is watching out for you. All your blind spots, he's watching. He's on guard. He's looking after you. Then you shall call. Now listen, if you do this, then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. And you will cry out, and he will say, here I am. How about that? Galatians 6, verse 7 and 6, or 7 and 8, I'm going to close with this. The Apostle Paul writes to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by the influence of the Holy Spirit. He says, don't deceive yourself. If you sow or plant seeds to the fleshly things in your life, my life, we will then reap a harvest of those fleshly things. He said, don't deceive yourself. Listen, the seed might be small. You might think it's no big deal to have this attitude or have this outlook or have this little frustration that kind of causes you to sin or judge or look different or get wrapped up about something you think that's yours that, you know what, the Lord gave you and it belongs to him anyhow. Whatever it is, something, we think it's no big deal. He's saying, don't deceive yourself into that. Every seed that you sow to the flesh is going to grow up and bear more seeds just like it. And you're going to reap of that stuff in your own life. And he goes on and he says, and for those who sow or plant seeds to the Spirit, we fast, we pray. We're going to treat people good. We're going to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. Those seeds that sow to the Spirit are also going to come up and bear fruit, and we will reap of those seeds, and they will prosper, and they will come into our life, and they will go out of our life to others. Though, don't deceive yourself thinking that these little seeds of the flesh, they're no big deal. We sow to the flesh, we'll reap of the flesh. If we sow to the Spirit, we will reap of the Spirit. It's part of what this fasting and prayer for 40 days is about. It's about repentance. It's about gratitude. It's about attitude adjustment. We're starting there for 10 days. And we're going to move on and pray and seek the Lord's blessing for other people. We're going to pray for renewal. We're going to pray for reviving of the church. And we're going to pray that the church is mobilized, that individuals, you and I, are mobilized to be a spiritual influence where we live our life every day. We're going to pray together. We're going to fast. We're going to take more time. And it's going to bother your flesh. I'm just telling you, it's going to bother my flesh. Don't think for a moment, well, he's the pastor. Oh, it's so easy for him. Listen, I got the same flesh battle that you got. But with the help of the Lord, you and I can do this. Now listen, as you go through this, you're going to be tempted to quit. You're going to be tempted to throw in. You're going to think, oh, where'd those caramel bars come from? Where'd those caramel bars come from? There's a little crumb on the counter. Don't swallow it yet. Savor that. Listen, and then it's going to lead to a bigger crumb, and then it's going to be that somebody left a piece, and then it's going to, you know, hey, listen, when that moment comes and you falter and I fail, or you didn't treat somebody right, and you feel that little conviction, and you want to dismiss it like it really wasn't that big a deal, and yet you know within the Holy Spirit's talking to you that you got to go back and you got to make it right with that person. Whether they noticed it or not, you're going to go make it right. Because we're not going to sabotage our prayer. We're not going to sabotage our sacrifice. We're not going to sabotage our obedience. We're not going to sabotage our fasting. We're going to obey. And so to the Spirit. And crucify the flesh. What might God do in you, for you, with you, your family, your workplace, your home church, your community? What might He do if we will set ourselves apart and consecrate ourselves and say, I'm not giving up on this? And when we fail and we falter, don't say, ah, it's too late now, I'll just throw in the towel. Oh, I'm no good, I can't do this. No. We just pick up from where we are and we keep going. You just keep going. He's got mercy, He has grace. It's not like He went, oh no. They were doing good for 4 days, just drinking water, and they were going to fast for 1 week, and day four, that caramel bar got in the way. Oh, now it doesn't even count. That's not true. I'm not trying to give you an out here and make it easy. I'm just telling you that with God's help and understanding, He's going to empower you, pick up from where you are and move on. Listen, I have been in times of fasting where somebody now invites me over. How do you say, hey, listen, could we do that in about 37 days? Listen, I've showed up at little gatherings that just had tea or whatever, water, coffee, and some of you are going, oh, you're allowed to have that? Oh, no, you're not holy. Listen, He'll convict me. You deal with it on your own. Okay? I mean, there's a difference between having broth with very much little nothing in it and having chili. Okay, that's, you know. But listen, so you can invite the whole, what do you do? Because you're not supposed to come in and go, well, so I'll just have water, I'm fasting. Because I'm I'm pretty holy. I'm Jesus' super guy here. We don't do any of that. It's nobody's business. They were hospitable. They offer something. So it's like, what do you do? Lord, I don't want to sin. I don't want to break this fast, but I don't want to have self-righteousness involved. So at the end of whatever commitment I made, I went, I did it. Whoa, whoa. You better go back and start over again because you are still full of yourself. And you just sabotaged the spiritual work you've been endeavoring to be a part of. I've gone to those meetings and those homes. It's like, what do I do? I don't want to offend them. I don't want to be unkind, and I don't want to break my fast. I don't want to sin. And then I remember the words that we read. Jesus was led by the Spirit. I've gone in. I've honored their hospitality. I didn't gorge myself. I didn't eat a lot. I had a little. Because it seemed like the Spirit of Jesus was about that. Connecting with this person or connecting with this family and having a little treat or a little something. Because it's what was set before me that I will give thanks for. And I'm not going to walk out guilty or like I blew it and there goes the 40-day fast or the week fast or the... At the same token, I don't come back to the office and say, that's it. I got to book lunches more often with people. You know, I need this excuse to eat and call it holy. You know, that's not it. It's about being thankful for what's before you and honoring the person. It seemed more like the Spirit of Jesus. Because I don't have the luxury, you don't have the luxury to just walk off in the wilderness and stay there for 40 days. You and I are going to still live at home and be with people and go to work. We're going to run into this stuff. We try to minimize it. We try to reschedule where it's appropriate to sit around a meeting table and they got treats and you're just having a water or tea or whatever your conviction is between you and the Lord. You work that out. It's about being led by the Spirit. It's about obeying Him. It's about sowing to the Spirit. And it's going to be hard. Your flesh will hate it. Your flesh will kick and scream and all that stuff. But the Lord will help you. The Lord will help me. And when we trip and fail, it's a big deal. But you know what? We just pick up from where we are. We move on. And don't let guilt rob you of the spiritual work you're doing. Listen, if you've never fasted for, you know, 3 days and you've only fasted a lunch once or twice in your life, and you get into day two and you trip up. Oh, I can't do this. This isn't for me. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. You've just fasted longer than you ever have before. And we grow, and we learn, and God has mercy and grace. And it's about what we're doing as individuals, but it's about what we're doing corporately, that we will set aside more time to seek the Lord, pray, hear from Him, sow to the Spirit. We may sacrifice something. You might discover again how wonderful life is when you don't know everybody else's business on social network. I'm just saying. You may have less arguments, less gossip, less temptation, less slander, less misunderstood messages because you're doing it in print and they can't see you or hear your voice or whatever else and all the arguments and can't, man. Isaiah said, you fast and pray and do all this and then you quarrel and fight? Then you argue with each other? Listen, if that has become a battleground for you of arguing, fighting, and, you know, what is it, kibitzing or whatever, I don't know, whatever, you know, nationality you are and word you use. You know, just that, you know, turmoil and back and forth and whose side in camp, and I can't believe this. Let a time of fasting and prayer recalibrate you. I'm not telling you you can't beyond that or go there, but if it's doing some of this stuff, your healing isn't coming quick, and your light is not shining that bright. And when you're calling the Lord, he's not sure he's hearing you because you've sabotaged your spiritual walk. That's what he's telling us. So for 40 days, hear the call, hear the vision, and figure out what you're going to do. Don't just go into this, yeah, well, I'm just going to kind of fast and pray a little more and, you know, do that. And No. I want to suggest to you that you develop a little bit of a plan. And then whether you put it on your calendar or you handwrite it or post it on your fridge or carry it around or put it on notes on your device or whatever you got to do, make a plan. And your plan's going to hit some glitches and you're going to have to probably change something around because something comes in. You're going to do your best to honor it as a priority and try to reschedule other things around it or what you're doing. But you're going to hit a bump in the road. Then just shift and move and it's going to be okay. But you got to have a plan. You know, Gene Truce told me something some time ago. I can't remember. Let's plan the work and then work the plan. Plan the work and work the plan. Now, when I said that in the first service, a couple other people laughed and went, like they were the ones that told Gene. But I don't know. All I know is I think I heard it from Gene. Yeah, well, let's do this. Let's plan the work and then we work that plan. Come into these days with a plan. What are you going to do the first 10 days or first week? And how are you, you know, what are you going to do? What seems good between you and the Lord? And then, you know, the second 10 days, it might change. You might do something different. Okay? This is between you and the Lord. So during these fasting and prayer days, if you happen to go into a restaurant and you see somebody else from church and they're over there eating, and you go, they're supposed to be fasting and praying. The first question we should be asking is, why are you in that restaurant? Listen, you're not judging one another. They're going to keep in step with the Spirit, and what the Spirit is saying to them could be very different than what he's saying to you. Mind your own business. And if somebody's eating, they're eating. If they're just drinking water, whatever they have the liberty to do, then that's what they're doing. The thing is, we want to be led by the Spirit, obey the Spirit, sow to the Spirit, and not sabotage the work of Christ in our life or someone else's. Let's seek the Lord, and let's see what he might do.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.